Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. So long to change my mind.
It's 38 Special bringing us back, 17 till the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate and the one and only, and the world is happy about that. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Michael Salzman is here. He's our guest, our good friend, VP for Berman & Company. Michael, tell us about Berman & Company.
You know, we've got our 30-year anniversary this September. So it was founded 30 years ago by Rick Berman, with a focus initially on a lot of labor and food issues. Today we have kind of a broad range of issues we deal with, but a lot of it focuses on this idea, I think, that people a lot of times can make their own decisions best for themselves without the heavy-handed government intervening. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have kind of a libertarian streak over here and a reputation for being aggressive and memorable, and I think that sets us apart.
Well, and Rick have got some big doings going on on Capitol Hill today, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, there's a bill called the Employee Rights Act. For people who don't follow labor law closely, labor law has not been substantially updated in this country since the 1940s. And so there are 8 provisions in the Employee Rights Act. I won't go through all of them, but the basic idea behind the bill is it guarantees secret ballot elections. So you can't pressure an employer to deny that. There's a periodic recertification of the union. So basically, less than 10% of union employees today actually voted for the union they're in. It was came in by someone's grandfather or even great grandfather.
Right.
So there'd be kind of, workers decide, do we still want them here? And then the third big plank is this idea that currently union members have to opt out of political spending. The union, it's like with Trump, a lot of union members voted for Trump, even though the union heads are giving all their money to Hillary.
Right.
So union members now would have to opt into that spending instead of opting out of it. So
which is what has been tried to get to be done at state levels. They tried to get this done in California a few years ago, and it didn't work.
That's right. Absolutely right. In some states,
It didn't pass, I should say, not didn't work.
Yeah, that's right, and it'd be an even steeper lift today.
It would have worked, it just didn't pass.
So it was originally introduced in the House by, in the Senate by Orrin Hatch, and the House by Tom Price, now HHS Secretary Tom Price. So Tennessee Congressman Phil Rowe is now carrying it in the House, and they'll be reintroducing the bill today here. So it's an exciting time, and I think an exciting time. This is a bill that polls in the roughly 80% range with union households.
Right.
So it's union leaders may not like it, but union members are a big fan of what
the
bill does.
One of the things I like about it was that in that second step, I think you mentioned the private ballot situation. This is the enemy of card check, right? I mean, one of the things, folks, if you remember, over the last few years, when we had, I think it was when the Clinton administration, during the Clinton administration, maybe, I don't remember when exactly, but a couple of different times, they tried to get the card check movement going, which is where a union leader could walk up to an innocent employee and stick a card in their hand, in their face, and say, here, you have to vote right now.
And the person
would have to vote in front of them.
It's hard to believe, right?
It didn't pass. It didn't work. But, talk about Gestapo tactics.
Yeah. Yeah, the people kind of, when people use these, unions use these terms like card check, and they had this bill, they called it the Employee Free Choice Act.
Right, whatever.
And basically, that's right. Union members or union leaders sometimes when they're doing these organizing drives, they'll go to someone and say, hey, just sign this card. You're just getting more information about the union, which is not the case at all. And if the card check bill had passed, if unions had gotten just over half of employees to sign the cards, the union would have automatically been recognized in the workplace. So just a really harmful bill, and this would basically guarantee that any form of card check organizing doesn't happen.
It would be dead on arrival, any kind of card check. So let me ask you about the implications of a bill like this. By the way, do you expect this bill to pass?
I think eventually it will pass. I think this is a bill that whose time has come, and it's got over 170 sponsors now between the House and Senate. So
is it bipartisan?
It is not yet bipartisan, but it's...
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, but it's growing in the diversity, I think, of its support within the Republican caucus. And, you know, it's a long-term
but
play.
Let me talk to you about the implications here for this. Because, as you know, concurrent with all of this, with this bill, is an increase, a steady increase in the right-to-work states in America. So you got a lot of Democrat members of Congress who are in newly right-to-work states who may be more inclined to go along with this bill, at least maybe not vote against it, because they've got it. There's a movement in their state which right-to-work is the harness made of this bill.
Mm. Well, yeah.
Am I right about that?
Well, you know, the right-to-work provisions, there's a separate national right-to-work bill. So some of the things that this bill does are slightly different than like what a national right-to-work bill
would do. I'm just saying the sentiment that drives right-to-work is the same sentiment behind this bill.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly
right.
That's
my point, is the sentiment, the overall sentiment, the overall – look at Michigan, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, tell me that a Michigan Democrat member of Congress wouldn't be more inclined to vote for this bill that we're talking about right now. It's being started today. Tell me they wouldn't be more likely to vote for it today than they would have a year ago before Michigan became a right-to-work state.
Well, I'd like to think so. You know, the unions, as a Michigander myself, you know, the unions are still pretty strong there, and I would imagine that there are some who would look at some of the pieces in this, like the political protection piece, for instance, that they realize would, in some cases, you know, maybe dry up the amount of money that's coming to them to help them kind of enact their agenda.
It's got to be good news. I mean, we've got a lot more right-to-work states than we had before.
We're over half the country, that's right. Yeah.
We're going to talk some more about this with our good friend Michael Salzman. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.